Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Davy loved Paris.
I love Paris.
And Larry Darrell's plans bore fruit.
In a swift and bloody coup, Iranians loyal to Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi today swept Premier Mohammad Mossadegh from power.
Introducing in this episode,
Prescott Bush, Senator, Nazi financier. The presidency, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life.
Encrypted and decoded, 427. From Claire Booth Luce to Alan Dulles. Report on my debriefing of Nicholas Carraway. All right, let's start from the beginning. Were you in on this little theatrical event? Did you and Cohn plan it together?
Of course I wasn't in on it. Do you really think I'd have anything to do with that idiot Cohn?
What is your assessment of the situation? Can it be turned to our advantage?
I couldn't begin to make an assessment. I have no handle on the situation at all. What do you mean, turn to our advantage?
Is there a way that the American hand in French politics can be made stronger?
I don't see how. The French government is mad as hornets. You've been in the embassy, Mrs. Luce. Do you see them doing anything but working like Hercules to clean up Cohn's mess?
Looking beyond that,
I have to tell you, Madam Ambassador, things look very different to me from here than they did back in Washington. I'm looking at America and Americans from a perspective of nearly 4,000 miles. And you're a writer, Mrs. Luce, and surely you know how this feels. It's like when I was sitting in my room back in Minnesota trying to create the Long Island of the upper class. There was still great affection, but a certain chilling realization of dark things lurking in the shadows.
I've always managed to separate my fictions from my work in the real world.
Have you? Are you sure? You'll be reporting back to Alan, I know. You're probably going to tell him Carraway's lost his sense of perspective. But think about it. Have I lost perspective now, or did I lose it when I was sitting back in Washington, like Alan, in an oak-paneled office? Am I right?
Mr. Carraway, of course I'm not working for the CIA. As an ambassador in Europe, I take an interest in the problems of all American citizens abroad.
Of course, but when you report back to Alan, tell him that we're not as sensitive to nuance as we ought to be. That's what I'll be telling him, but I have a feeling he won't be listening to me. I think it may be time for a whole new approach in our overseas dealings.
Perhaps it would be best if you returned to Washington and shared your feelings with Mr. Dulles yourself.
Perhaps, but not for a couple of weeks. I have a few obligations here.
At this point, I don't think termination of Mr. Carraway is a good idea. He's become too well known in France. But his newfound reputation is as a literary figure, which means no one will ever take him seriously. He's effectively marginalized himself. We can scratch Operation Elba. We've won a major victory in Iran, which should ensure that the Middle East is off the board as a trouble spot, perhaps forever. Let's leave Europe in the hands of your brother and his brinkmanship theories. I'm off to Italy.
From Mademoiselle Christine Jorgensen, Kempinski Hotel, Berlin, to Jake Barnes, Royal Hospital, Copenhagen. Davy writes, Cohn's citizens arrested Carraway in Paris. Stop. Davy most impressed by Daddy. Stop. Don't they realize? No, of course not. Stop. Arriving Paris tonight, Hotel du Louvre. Stop. When are you back? Love, Chris.
428 from Robert Cohn, Washington, D.C., to David Schein, Hotel George V, Paris. Davy, Jorgensen at Hotel du Louvre. Stop. Monitor mail from Barnes. Stop. Maybe source of leak. Stop. I want to nail that bastard. Robert.
428 from Roy Cohn, Hotel George V, Paris, to Honorable Joseph McCarthy, Russell Senate Office Building, Washington, D.C. Arrive Washington 8 a.m. tomorrow. Stop. Work here done. Stop. Next, the Army. Cohn.
Paris, April 29th, 1953. Dear Monsieur Camus, I am delighted to accept your kind invitation to read tomorrow evening at Shakespeare and Company, if the invitation still stands. I prefer to read selections from Trimalchio rather than the work in progress, which is not nearly ready for the light of day, but I thank you for your interest and encouragement. Again, for myself and my country, my profoundest apologies for your being caught up in the insanity of the other day at De Magot. Mr. Cohn has been summoned back to Washington, and I hope this embarrassing episode will be soon forgotten. Sincerely, Nicholas Carraway.
Royal Hospital, Copenhagen, Denmark, April 29, 1953. Dear Chris, yes, wasn't that a fine mess? All hell breaks loose and me not in Paris to cover the goddamn story? I always thought I had a nose for news. Just goes to show, you add a new appendage, the others go straight to fuck all. I figured that Yahoo McCarthy was behind it. Or maybe it was just a lackey trying to impress his master, although I would never have credited Cohn with the gonads for a move like that on his own. A citizen's arrest of Nick Carraway. I gather it damn near caused a government crisis. You almost have to give it to the little creep for sheer, unmitigated, world-class, cocked-up showmanship. Having said that, those sons of bitches make me vomit. The everything I hate about America is that your husky contralto in my mind's ear saying, Jake, dear, doesn't that mean they're trying to destroy everything you love about America? All right, and from where I sit, they're doing a damn good job of it. I hear even the Cincinnati Reds are planning to change their name. Well, why the fuck not? There haven't been any Reds in Cincinnati since the Palmer Raids. And is there anyone left to stand up to that mob? Winchell's gone farther to the right than that petrified bitch Dorothy Kilgallen. Even old lefties like my so-called pal Irving Kristol are saying, well, you know, there really is a threat. Yeah, there's a threat, all right. Just ask some of the guys who have been driven out of the country. I got a letter from Howard Koch, a writer friend who's on the blacklist, the one they swear doesn't exist. He wrote a movie called Casablanca about 10 years ago. No one much remembers it today, but it was a hell of a flick. He's in England now, and I've been telling him he should just stay the hell away from the whole craziness, but he's planning to go back in spite of the goddamn blacklist. And then there's Nick. Nick's a decent guy, and I'm glad as hell I've had this chance to get to know him. I guess I can thank McCarthy for that, so I take back all the crap I said about the cocksucker. Well, like the guy in Howard's movie says, everyone in Casablanca has problems. Nick's may work out. I feel a lot better if I were back in Paris. There's something going on. I'll find out soon enough. Nick's coming to Copenhagen to pick me up, and we're going to take a few days for a leisurely drive back to Paris, sampling the local vintages along the way. I'm thinking a little detour might be in order if you're game. Let's you and me rendezvous in Normandy. I'll have Nick drop me off at a little inn I know near Saint-Laurent-sur-Mer. I'll check the exact address and cable you with driving instructions. Meet me Thursday next. I was there in 44 covering the invasion, and the place still packs a hell of a goddamn wallop for me. Now I've got another beachhead to storm. With love, Jake. And my new pal, Little Jake.
Roy Cohn, by hand, May 2nd. Uncle Robert.
I'm back in Washington and damn glad to be here. How'd you like my little Paris surprise?
I thought someone should know this, and frankly, I'm a little hesitant to tell Dulles myself because he's not exactly gonna like it.
I think Barnes knows more than he ought to about plans that he ought to not know about. And I'm afraid it was my former friend Davy who's responsible. He's been going all dorky, sneaking around and acting like he thinks he's some kind of a spy. I saw Christine Jorgensen's name on the phone pad, and when I asked Davy, he wouldn't say what it was about. He just looked like a cat who'd swallowed a cloak and dagger. Jorgensen's tight with Barnes, so put two and two together.
As I said, it's Davy who was responsible. I never told Davy anything secret, no bull. It's not like we were in bed together, Your nephew, Roy. P.S. Maybe you and Aunt Frances could have me over for a home-cooked meal. I'm sick of that frog food.
From Robert Cohn to the Honorable Prescott Bush. 5253. Scotty, Dulles is getting cold feet. He's not the man he was. Looks like we'll have to go over him, not through him. If there's a shake-up at the company and I end up in charge, so be it. If Ike looks weak, a few swift jabs could rattle his war hero image and set the stage for a Bush in the White House next election. We'll see how the chips fall. Meanwhile, I'm going to need your son to help with a little end-around play. Tell George I want him to run all France cables to and from Dulles past me first. Robbie.
From Honorable Prescott Bush to Robert Cohn. 5253. Robbie, you get one shot, then the door closes. I've got plans for that young man, and they don't include any possibility of scandal.
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Jonathan Richards and Tad Richards, with music by Dave Grusin. Featured in the cast were Alan Arkin as Jake Barnes, Tom Conti as Nick Carraway, Ally McGraw as Christine Jorgensen, Valerie Plame Wilson as Claire Booth Luce, Scott Thomas as Roy Cohn, Jonathan Richards as Robert Cohn, and Senator Tom Udall as Senator Prescott Bush. Tune in next time to hear Jean Renoir say,
How do you like as the title gets Bill Magnifique?